It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Chicago has its second story. Baltimore has the stoop. And public radio has, of course, the moth. Their storytelling series where everyday citizens relate a true life story. And beginning this month, the Pittsburgh Story Syndicate becomes the latest venue for people to connect and share their stories. Bringing her storytelling skills back to Pittsburgh is author Lisa Kirshner, who joins us now in Studio A. Lisa Kirshner, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Explain what the Pittsburgh Storytelling Syndicate is.
Well, the Story Syndicate is the name, and I made it an umbrella name to really incorporate or be able to encompass a broad band of storytelling activities. In New York City, I was fortunate enough to be involved with the Moth as a story coach, and I went to schools, I went to rehabs, I went to a youth project organization where we help people tell their stories. We taught them the basic skills of storytelling, and then we would put on shows featuring that. And being able to go on stage and tell your story in front of other people is not the be-all and end-all of storytelling. I mean, storytelling in and of itself, to be able to tell your story is a way to connect more deeply with other humans. But going on stage can be a lot of fun and a great motivator for people to really hone their skills. So I'm hoping to introduce this as something that happens in the schools as well as, but we're starting off with this slam at Can of Coffee, and it's going to be starting on Monday nights. We originally had it on Tuesdays, but now we're going to Mondays.
Okay, and so how does it work?
Well, I put everybody's name in a hat. We had our first one last week, and I put everybody's name in a hat. You draw the name, and if you get called, you get 5 minutes to get up and tell your story in front of a group of people. And it needs to be a true story. It needs to have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And other than that, it's up to you to delve into your storytelling well.
You know, some storytelling entities require people that require that the story has to be embarrassing or self-deprecating in some way, or
sexy.
Yeah, do you have those kinds of stipulations?
No, it's it can be any of those things. I mean, usually you want to work with sort of superlative experiences, the best, the worst.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to like talk about how you cleaned the house during the day.
Well, you know, I've heard people tell amazing stories about doing the most mundane things. Sarah Baron comes to mind. She was the first time I went to the Moth in New York City, she was the host. And she was just riffing about what had gone on her day interstitially between the stories. And she was fascinating to listen to. I think that when you have the ability to share your experiences in a compelling way, then
you can make anything sound interesting.
That's right. That's right. And the same is true for writers. I mean, I the example that always comes to mind is a story about the history of buttons. Buttons, not the most exciting topic, but it's actually a compelling read.
Buttons. Sure. Why not? Well, you know, you've been part of the storytelling scene in New York for the last 7 years, at least. Describe what's going on there.
Wow, it has changed so much. I mean, when I moved to New York City...
Some people might perceive that as a place where there's a lot more neuroses going on. I'm not necessarily saying that. I'm just saying that the perception might be there.
Well, Paul, that would
Am
be
I
a
right?
show about dating, actually.
Oh,
I don't
really?
Know. Yeah.
And how is the dating? No, let's not go there.
No. But people, obviously, they talk a lot about their dating life and storytelling because you can come up with funny stories from that. In New York, when I first came in 2007, the Moth was already up and running as a viable organization, but it was much smaller. There weren't other storytelling shows. That was pretty much the one-stop shop, and there weren't people going off and taking their storytelling out to other cities. And there were even times where they would sort of encourage people, come on, somebody put their name in the hat. And it was not like it is now. The last three times I tried to go to a Moth show, actually, I couldn't even get in. I went early, and I stood outside, sometimes in the freezing cold, and I couldn't even get a seat in, let alone get my name in a hat to potentially get on the stage. And that is with this mushrooming of other storytelling shows. So the idea behind this, and there are lots of, I mean, what you might call levels. There are slam type shows where anything goes. And then you have curated shows. And I hope to also bring a curated show to the Arcade Theater where every month I'm doing, based on the people who come to the slams and they tell great stories, to have curated shows that do have themes. And then you have stories with, or storytelling shows that have themes like desire or embarrassment or awkward or, you know. The nice thing about a theme is it gives people coming to the show a sort of an idea of what to do. But on this, from the storyteller's perspective, I have been with other storytellers where they're like, I don't care what the theme is. I'm just going to tell the story that I want to tell. So, you know.
Well, you can understand why some people would want to tell their story. But what? How do you account for the popularity of this? The fact that these events sell out. They sell out in New York, as you mentioned. They sell out in Pittsburgh. Does it have something to do with the fact that, you know, just old-fashioned basic storytelling? I mean, everybody used to tell stories before there was electronic media. And now everybody's so engaged in that. Have we gotten away? Is there like a craving to get back to human one-on-one, in-person storytelling contact?
Bingo. I think you've hit it exactly. I mean, obviously, there's a little storybook called the Bible, right? I mean, storytelling
I've
has
been... I've heard of it,
yeah.
Yes.
And storytelling is even the way that cultures have progressed forward. I mean, you remember stories better than essentially just a moral. So if I say, you know, don't put your hand on a hot stove, that's one bit of information, but then I can make it a story around how, oh, I burnt in a third degree and blisters and, you know, then it's something that people remember more readily and easily. But also, I mean, kind of on a more basic human level, I think electronic media, it's all really wonderful, but it also can lead to a sense of feeling disconnected. And our basic desire as human beings, every human wants to feel a sense of belonging. And when we tell stories, interestingly, the more specific your story is, the more people can relate to it. And when people are in an environment where they're able to sit and relate to what is being said, and then that brings up stories in the mind of the listener, it is a sense of connection that's so compelling and so powerful. And I believe it is really the key to developing a more compassionate society. That's why I'm way into it.
Well, sure. And how much of it is a part of just tapping into vivid details in an age where, you know, people in close proximity to one another may be texting. They don't even look at each other. They don't make eye contact. They're, you know, it's just this little truncated cryptic messages going back and forth, or, you know, emails, which, you know, involve all sorts of emoticons, abbreviations.
Yes.
That to actually look at somebody into their eyes as they're telling the story is a completely different experience.
Well, and I remember details from stories that I heard years ago. There's one story that I can recall where a woman was lying on the ground and the storyteller described her hair billowing out around her as a nimbus, right? And that's very powerful, and it's really stuck with me. I remember a really funny story. It was a Christmas story that a woman was telling, and she was being a little bit graphic about Santa Claus. I don't know if we can go there on air, but I will say that it's definitely, you know, the kind of detail that sticks with you. And detail is what sticks with you.
We are talking with Lisa Kirshner here in our Central Pittsburgh studios, talking about the Pittsburgh Story Syndicate, which she has brought to Pittsburgh for people to connect and share their stories. Aren't there already venues in Pittsburgh for this kind of storytelling? Why do we need another one?
Absolutely, there are, and they're wonderful. And I had the privilege of doing some storytelling at some of the different existing storytelling organizations. I hope to involve those people in Story Syndicate, and I hope to stay involved in those organizations. And that's how it works in New York. I mean, there are as many stories as there are people. So I don't think there's a shortage of material. And I don't think that we have come to a sort of critical mass with it here where there's no room for anybody else. One of the things, I recently came back to town because of a family situation, and I immediately felt this lack of ability to have a place to go out and get up and tell my story in front of a group of people. And so I thought, I'm going to start that here. And that's why I started it. And that's what I hope it can be for other people who want to participate in other storytelling organizations. I don't think that it's an impoverished universe. I think it's an abundant universe, and more is not the phrase "more is better" is really often used as a sort of consumerism kind of slogan.
Some is good, more is better. But then people say less is more, too.
And they also say it is what it is, which can we eradicate that phrase? You're not saying anything.
I'm gonna switch gears here completely. There, you have on your, hold up your left forearm. You had it up on the table there.
Yeah,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
In a very prominent part of your left forearm, we'll get into a story right here, right now. You have an anchor tattooed on your arm.
Yeah.
There's got to be a story behind that.
Well,
can you tell
is.
That story in a minute or two here?
Absolutely. I got this tattoo when I launched my book, and I it makes it sound very nautical. But
is it a book? Is it like a Moby Dick 2? Or
no, I actually talked about it. You weren't here, so I didn't get to. You know what? I got to give you a copy of the book. Hello,
okay.
American Lady Creature. Anyway.
Yeah.
This was this past summer, so it's fairly fresh ink, and it's a reference for me to my childhood, because when I was young, we used to go to Florida every summer, and we would go sailing, and I loved it, and those are some of my happiest childhood memories, and I believe we're shaped by the way that we think about things, and so I want to think about those sunny, happy, wonderful times in my childhood. And it's so easy. So many people, they can speak really ill of their childhood or their parents. And I know that by focusing on the really beautiful aspects of my life, it's going to feel a lot better inside and out. Because if I'm not feeling good inside, I'm going to project that outside. So that's way gone off the topic. But That's the story behind that.
Okay, so leave us with some advice for people on how to tell a story. Just sort of sum it all up, bring it all home for us.
Well, again, think of that superlative experience, best, most, worst, mm-hmm. least. And if you want to get on stage, know your first sentence and know your last sentence and embellish in between. Tell the details and make it come to life. You want to move people, places, and things through space and time. So even though you and I have been talking a lot about like the bones of how this works and what we're doing, a more, you know, a story really involves people, places, things. So in other words,
what about authenticity? How important is that? I mean, because people can, if it's a personal story, nobody knows if you're making it up. So is it important for someone to be, even if they can fool the audience, to be true to themselves when they're doing this?
Well, look, I'm not the storytelling police, but I have always found when I hear people tell a story and it's fake, it rings false.
You can always
hear
tell
it in the audience. Well, I don't know if I can always tell.
I'm guessing you can't.
For me personally, I'm almost incapable of falsifying the details because then I lose track of what I'm talking about. So it's harder for me. And I frankly don't respect it in storytellers. I think the truth is always stranger than fiction. It is, you know, the situations we find ourselves in are way weirder than what actually
true that
we can make up.
Absolutely. Author Lisa, easy for me to say, Lisa Kirshner joining us here on Essential Pittsburgh, talking about the Pittsburgh Story Syndicate. So every Monday night. Great. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. If you missed any portion of the show, you can catch the show in its entirety online at WESA.FM or as a podcast in iTunes. Until tomorrow, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.